For you in the lovely and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank thee, Lord, that the blood shall never lose its power. We just will sincerely pray tonight that you wash every one of us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us and we shall be like hyssop. Sanctify us and we praise thy name. We would pray this evening that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. We would pray this evening that the Holy Spirit would move amongst us. We would ask, Lord, for every brother and sister away on a break and for a holiday, you bless them and give them a special time. And Lord, for those yet at work, you'll bless them, and those traveling, you'll bless them. And Father, that you'll have your way tonight, that you'll help us to speak and say something to encourage and help your people. In Jesus' precious name, meet every need in this room tonight. Any requests that's unspoken but secretly prayed to you, we just ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll meet that need in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, I pray you'll help this preacher, sanctify us. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Cleanse us in your blood and fill us with your spirit. And I take the precious Holy Spirit by faith to help me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. It's maybe seated. Praise God. I don't want to keep you as long tonight, but I just want to take this and look a little bit at the nature of God. I was going to preach in Romans 8, but I just felt to go to this instead. I want us to see the nature of God and how he reveals that nature sometimes to mankind, and particularly through visible manifestations. And we know when we read the Word of God that the Bible says God is a spirit. And it says that God is invisible. And yet God is invisible, but yet withal God can become visible. And we see God can manifest himself through nature. God can manifest himself through many different forms, many different ways. And that's God. And if you go to Genesis 1 verse 1. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we see when the Spirit of God moves, something happens. And we need the Spirit of God to move, just like the Spirit of God moved in the beginning. It takes the Spirit of God to move man. It takes the Spirit of God. A man that's not saved, it's the Spirit of God to preach into the Word, yes. But it's the Spirit of God that moves in that man or woman that saves him. It's the Spirit of God that moves in the man or woman to heal him. It's the Spirit of God that moves in the man or woman Whatever it is, it's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God doesn't do it, it'll not be done. But thank God, it is God's Spirit. And many people wonder, have they got the Spirit? Well, if you're saved, the Spirit had to move you to get saved. So you can say the Spirit's already worked with you when you can see Him. If you've ever been healed, the Spirit of God worked with you, they can heal. And thank God for the working of the Spirit of God. And there's so many scriptures about the Spirit of God. If Matthew puts up Hebrews 12 verse 9. And just so many scriptures tonight. Hebrews 12 verse 9. And Hebrews 12 and 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So God is supreme over all spirits, and God Himself is a spirit. Now there's other spirits, we know that, there's a spirit of a devil. There's different spirits, but we're talking about the Spirit of God tonight. We want to see about the Spirit of God. Now listen to this, what Webster's Dictionary says, what is a spirit? A spirit is a supernatural and corporeal rational being, invisible to the human beings, but having the power to become visible at will. And God is invisible. If I say to you tonight, show me God, there's lots of ways you could answer, and I know that. But God is invisible, but yet God can become visible. And we know that God became visible in His Son, Jesus Christ. Because the disciples said, show us the Father and suffice us. And He said, Philip, have I been with you so long, and yet hast thou not seen me? Him that hath seen me, seen God. So Jesus Christ manifested God. Now Jesus was God and He wasn't God. Now you say that's contradictory. It's not. He was God because God was in Him. But yet, God's God. Amen. The physical part was born of the Virgin Mary, but God never had a part that was born or began. But Jesus, that physical part was made, and God came in Jesus. But no one came in God. Let me put it like that. Nobody ever entered in God. He always was God. But yet God came into Christ. And God was in Christ. See, some people look at the Godhead as completely like one, but it's not. There's God and that God has a Son. We believe that, don't we? That there's God and God has a Son. And we know that God's not a person, but yet with all, Jesus is a person. And God became visible in Jesus. So the God that you couldn't see became visible in Jesus. Now there's other ways He became visible, and yet He was invisible. And there's many ways you can see God. Now listen to this. The Hebrew word translated as spirit is ruach, and can mean wind, breath, life, anger, unsubstantiately region of the sky or spirit of a rational being. And we know that the Spirit of God is like the wind. Breath of God, it's like the wind. And the Bible says, him that's born in the Spirit of God is like the wind. You cannot tell whence he cometh or whither he goeth. Jesus breathed on them and received the Holy Spirit even before the day of Pentecost. They received the Spirit. They went out and done signs and wonders way before Pentecost. That was the breath of God. So you would have to say, when you look at Genesis and you look where Jesus breathed on Adam and he became a living soul, and Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost, there's power in the breath of God. So when we sing that we song, O breath of God, breathe in me, we know what we're singing about. We're singing the Bible. There's power in the breath of God. If the breath of God breathed on you like He breathed on the disciples, like He moved in the beginning, it would do something to you. Because it always has done something, and it will do something, praise God. The Greek word translated as a spirit, pneuma, current or air, breath, blast, breeze, spirit, soul, vital principle, angel, demon or God. All these definitions emphasize that a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Now God didn't have flesh and bones, but yet with all He became a man. And His Son Jesus Christ. So that we could handle Him, so that we could touch Him. He came down to our low estate. That's what it says. It says that God condescended. He came down. God condescended and he came down because there's no man on this earth who's good enough to save us or redeem us. But God condescended. God came down. He took upon him the form of a man. He made himself a body and he stepped into the body. That's why Jesus said, I will come to my temple. Now he wasn't talking about the temple that Moses built, or the temple that David built, or the temple that Solomon built. He wasn't talking about them temples. Because you know, he said, I'll tear this temple down in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And it said it took us, was it 40 or 50 years to build this? Gee, he's not talking about the natural temple. The temple that the Lord said he's going to come to was the body, Jesus Christ. Then there's another body that he comes to. That's the body of the bride, or the body of the church, which is you and me are part of it, because we're born into that body, we're baptized in by one Spirit. And the Lord's in his body. The same Spirit that was in Jesus is in his body, but it was all in Jesus, but it's over the whole body. And yet God's not diminished. Some people believe, you know, that God's in the bride and that's just God. Well, God's in the bride and he's still God. That's the difference. We don't believe God's in the bride and that's it. People believe that. I don't believe that scriptural. God's in his bride and yet he's God. Because you see, you can't use God up. Like I drink this water and use it up. God doesn't work like that. God's unlimited. You see, now, I've used this illustration before and it's true. If I took a glass of water from the ocean, whatever chemicals is in the ocean is in that glass. Though it's only a glass from the ocean, it's not the ocean, but it contains all the elements that was in the ocean. And when you receive the Spirit of God, you don't receive it in the fullness the way Jesus did. God was actually in Jesus. The Bible tells us that we receive it by a measure, but in that measure, every ingredient's in that measure. That's in God. The eternal life's in you, because the Spirit of God's in you. The power that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Bible says it's in you in Romans 8. If the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, and the word means make alive your mortal body. And the thing that made us alive, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, is the Spirit of God. Look with me at some scriptures. Look at Luke 24. And I don't really want to get preaching tonight. Luke 24 and verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for the Spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. So Jesus tells you that the Spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, but yet Jesus had. So if you preach complete oneness, and as people do preach complete oneness, then you can't preach these things. How many sees what I'm saying here tonight? It's the same. You know, there's people preach you must be baptized in water to be saved. And they actually baptize in Jesus' name only. And you see, that's not scriptural either. And you hear what William Branham says about that. He says there's people called Jesus in some countries. And he says you must give the Lord his full title, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus only. And we have said it before, you do water baptisms unto, you're doing it because you're a believer, you're following the scriptures, but it doesn't save you. Amen. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Regeneration to the power of the blood. But you're doing that as a believer, you're following scriptures, you're saying to the world when you go into the water, I'm dying. I'm dead to Christ. When you come out, I'm alive to Christ. Really, probably I'm guilty of it myself, but for years, there's a lot of emphasis put on doing it in the right name. But sometimes we don't put the right emphasis on why we do it. So there has to be a balance. Why are we doing it? There is the right name, but why are we doing it? We're doing it because we're dying. When we're going under that water and we're coming out in you. It's the same as Christ went into the ground and he came out of the ground at the same time. Matthew 16 verse 17. And it's really the same scripture. And Jesus answering, saying unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon, but Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus is telling him, no man showed you this. But the Father in heaven, in other words, God, the Spirit of God, let you know this. And if we're going to know anything, it's the Spirit of God that shows us. We know we can't do it of ourselves. We could thank someone and it could be wrong. All of us are guilty of it. You could think, even in the scripture, you could have an idea. William Branham, said he was going to preach the seeds. And he says that he was all wrong. And he says, the angel of the Lord came in the room and he says, he corrected me. How many knows he said that? So he said he'd read books from different great men, but what he was going to bring was wrong. And the Lord corrected him. And you notice that angel always brought him back to the scripture. And he showed him it in the scripture. And that's the thing about it, he took him back to the scripture. Now that was unique. That was unique because he was the messenger. Now, maybe an angel is not going to come to me and you in a room or somewhere and bring us to the scriptures. We know that's not going to happen. But don't forget what Jesus says. When you receive the Spirit of truth, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. So God's Spirit is a Spirit of truth. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the Spirit of truth. And when you read this word, he makes it known to you. He reveals his word to you. So when the Bible says that God is a Spirit, it means he cannot be seen or touched physically by a human being. As a Spirit, he's an intelligent, supernatural being who does not have a physical body. That's God. He's invisible. And it said in the Old Testament, no man can see God and live. Now yet, Moses saw the back parts of God. And he lived. Now if you've ever watched the Ten Commandments, and it's pretty good compared to the Bible. It's quite close, I would say. But you know the part in it when Moses comes down to the mountain and his face shone. That's right. Because the Bible says when Moses met with a burning bush, he came down, he had to veil his face. Because he didn't look on Moses and he was just a man born a sinner. But yet he had met with God. But he met with God in a burning bush. So God manifested into the form he could see. So the invisible God manifested into the form of a burning bush. Now God tonight can manifest in whatever form he wants. People think, Jesus, and that's it. No. Don't forget, God can manifest in any form he wants. And if you listen to the Melchizedek message that William Branham preached, he said that God took a lump of clay and made a body and came down in it in a man called Melchizedek, and made Abraham. And he said that was God. Now it wasn't Jesus and Melchizedek, it was Melchizedek and Jesus. Because that was God in a form. So it wasn't Jesus there, but it was Melchizedek there that came forward and it was in Jesus. Because Jesus had the physical part where he started. Was born of a woman. The Bible says that. It actually says made of a woman. And he actually died as a man dies, but God can't die. So you see, now I know the Trinity in three persons is wrong, but the three's right. And it is right. Because you have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. And William Branham says there's three offices of one God. And in the Old Testament, he's God above us, spirit form. And he manifested in the burning bush to Moses. And then look how he manifested to them on the journey as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Still God. So God can do anything he wants to. God can take on the form of an angel, did you know that? Like a man. And appear to somebody. We know he's done that. Because when you read your Bible, and you've got a Scofield Bible, some of the Bibles have it, you know when it says capital A, angel, they say that's the Lord, the angel of the covenant, the Lord. Now you'll hear William Branham saying the angel of the covenant to you tonight. That's the Lord. Then you'll hear him saying, my angel, that's not the Lord. So people, there's two angels. There's the angel which is God, and there's the angel that came to William Branham, and they're not the same angel. You know, it's not physically God came to William Branham in that form of a man. He describes him. He describes him, what he looked like. But then he says the angel of the covenant when he refers to the pillar of fire. That's God. That's that same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. How many knows that same cloven tongue of fire came the day of Pentecost? That's God. But yet he's not diminished. You can't really I do, God, you see. Since God is a spirit, he is invisible unless he chooses to manifest himself in some form visible to man. So we're in this room tonight. I believe the presence of God's here, but you can't see it, and I can't. But if God wanted to, he could manifest in the form in this very room. Now, I know that's hard to take in, but God has did that before. Because you hear Brother Branham saying, some people can see the pillar of fire and some can't. And he said, it's whoever God permits to see it. Now, you know that pillar of fire is God manifesting. You know that's what it is, God. But you see, the secret with this, and I want to say this, some people make out, you see, they have let God, what I'm trying to say is, they've let God in a certain, in the people, and that's God, and that's it. But that's not scripture. God's more than that. God is in the people, but he's still God. That's the thing about it. That's why he's greater than just a person. He's greater than a person, because a person's limited to be in one place at one time, but God's not limited. He's omnipresent. Praise God. Look at Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verse 20. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and on the ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made it the children of Israel to drink. And I might be reading the wrong scripture. It's verse 12. Sorry, brother. Here it is. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Praise God. Now Moses talks to God. This is the whole encounter from Moses talks to God. Now let's just read on a little bit. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. So here's another song we sing, which is very scriptural. Hide me in the cleft of the rock. You know that song, "While the Storm Passes By"? It's from the Bible. It's from a happening that took place in the Bible. So God tells Moses, get in this cleft of the rock and I'll pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And you know there's another scripture that says, no man can see God and live. I think it's really tremendous, isn't it? Now God visited Moses in a very special way. There's very few people that can say what Moses could say, that he met God like this. Very few people. But I tell you, it was tremendous, wasn't it? Now, there's someone to think about this. Here's the thing about this. Now, I believe God's leading me to say this. I want you to listen carefully. You could have an idea, I could have an idea, Moses wasn't the man for the job. Because he failed. So many ways he failed. Moses is the man. First of all, he's put in the bulrush, floated down into the camp of the enemy, floated right into Pharaoh's household. Isn't that right? God saved him from whatever was in them waters, sharks, or whatever it was. But anyhow, God saved him. And he was saved because all the children died. But his mother saw he was a goodly child, put him in the basket, floated right into Pharaoh's house. Brought him in Pharaoh's house, trained with all the wisdom of the Egyptians. But yet with all, you know, when he saw one of his brethren, the Bible talks about Moses coming to age. And the Bible says when Moses came of age, he refused to be called one of Pharaoh's household or so forth. You know the scripture. Son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he came of age. And me and you, there was a coming of age with us where we refused to be called some organization, whatever it is, any of them. It makes no difference. They're all the same, really. There's good people in them all, but we don't take the name. We take the name Jesus Christ. That's it. No other name. Doesn't matter if they sound right or anything, that's all right. There's one name. Isn't that right? The Lord Jesus Christ. And we're real believers, we're Christians, because Christ's in us. We refuse to be called anything else. Moses come to that time. But yet, knowing all that, doing all that, he sees the man suffering to his brethren, and he kills him, hides him in the sand. Now this is the man that's going to deliver God's people. This is the man that God meets with. And then when an argument starts and he goes over to fix it and they say, we've seen you. Will you kill us like you killed him and so forth? And he runs away. Now how many knows that's the Bible? Now goes out, he's herding the sheep in the backside of the desert. 40 years learning to be Egyptian. 40 years in the backside of the desert learning to be nobody. Then he sees the bush a burning and he says, I will go aside and see this because this is like a bush in the field here burning, but it continues to burn. So I don't think it was like, you know, he watched it this evening for 10 minutes or an hour. That must have burned for days in my opinion. Now I could be wrong, but I believe it burned for days. It had to burn long enough to get his attention enough that he decided it's going to whoop, and he didn't, wherever it was, he didn't whoop it in 5 minutes. It must have been quite a ways off for him to whoop till, because remember, it was called the Mount of God, and nobody can whoop there and live, and there was times them people knew, there's times God comes there and you can't whoop there and live. Moses said, I'm going to whoop. And here he meets with God. And God manifests in this burning bush, and God speaks to Moses. And the first thing God says to Moses, take your shoes off, you're standing on holy ground. Now Moses has this great visitation, this great experience with God. When he meets with God, manifests in the pillar of fire, God's telling him, I'm going to deliver the children of Israel because it was prophesied in the bondage for all them years that came to pass. God's now fulfilling his word, what he said. And Moses turns around and complains and tells God he wouldn't be able to do it. Can't talk right, all excuses. And the Bible says in one place God was going to kill him. The Bible says that. When he came down to the mountain, God was going to kill him. And repented the Lord. You read all the scriptures, don't you? But yet withal, God used Moses to do it. Now I could show you, I'm doing this for a reason. Because people think they're smart and they can find a fault in a man like Moses or a man like David or a man like whoever, William Branham, Smith, any man. But it's not smart. Why it's there, it has to be there. Listen to me tonight. It has to be there. Because there had to come someone with no fault. And that was Jesus Christ. And every other man would make mistakes because they were born sinners. But Jesus was born sinless. But yet God does all this to Moses, but God did not change his mind and say, Moses, that's you, finished over on the child, and I'll get somebody else. God used Moses. A man that slew somebody, a man that argued with God up on the mountain, he tells God he can't do it. Now this is after all these visitations, all these manifestations, this is after all this, he still tells God he can't do it. A bit like preaching, isn't it? You know, you might not understand what I'm saying, but I know what I'm talking about. You can pray for God to give you a confirmation you're called. And you can ask God for a sign, maybe it's let me see somebody getting saved, and somebody else gets saved. And then 6 months later you get discouraged again, you ask God again. And he continually. And God continually speaks and God continually shows us. See, that's man's nature. But God doesn't change his mind. God's word remains the same. We change, he changes not. Now, like what old Joseph Smith said, and it's not the Joseph Smith of the Mormons, but this is a Pentecostal Joseph Smith. He said, 40 years learning to be an Egyptian, 40 years the backside of the desert learning to be nobody, and then he says Moses was the next 40 years learning that God was everybody. 40 years, 40 years, 40 years. And God never got really started with Moses till he was 80. So don't ever tell God, I'm too old now for it to happen. Because God started with, now he worked with them before that, we know that. But in way of sending him and all that, he's 80 years of age, fourth start. And God gave him 40 wonderful years where he had the power of God and seen the things of God. And he made mistakes. And you know when he came to the rock and God said, speak to it, he didn't do that, he smote it. And God said, you weren't to smote it, you were to speak to it, and because of that, you're not into the promised land. Is that right? It's not the Bible. And how many knows God buried Moses? And they couldn't tell where he was buried. God buried him. And he died, because the Bible says he died and God buried him. Some people say Moses didn't die. Well, the Bible says he did, died and God buried him. Now we know in the Transfiguration, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus Christ. So obviously Moses was there, even though his body died, he was there with the Lord, because he was God's servant. Amen. So God's a spirit, God can manifest. Look at John 1, and the time's going already, and I said it wouldn't be long tonight. You join the Word of God. I'm trying not to rush along. John chapter 1 and verse 18. No man have seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. It's not something, the only begotten Son. You know, I don't know if anybody saw the clips of it. I don't want to get into it tonight, but there was some famous preachers on. I don't know what program it was because I don't watch it, but I saw it posted somewhere. And they both said Jesus was not the only begotten Son. He was the first fruits. And we're the fruits. Now there's a fellow on arguing, I don't know his name. He's real smart. I don't know if you've ever saw him. He's thousands in these meetings. He's a Muslim or someone like that. The Quran, what's the Quran? Muslims. This boy's smart and he knows the Bible, he quotes the Bible and everything. You see, what them preachers are doing, they're doing the same as him. Now let me explain what I'm saying. What they do is, they go into the Bible and they say Adam was the son of God. And you'd have to say, that's right. And they bring it right through the Bible and then they say, you're a son of God, that's right. You see now how they work. Then they're saying Jesus was the son of God, that's right. But hold on a minute, he was more than a son of God, he was only begotten son. But why they do that is, they do that to make a platform for the false doctrine. And when preachers don't see through that, and they say he's the first fruits, and he was the first fruits, and we are the fruits of the Father, that is true, but he still is the only begotten Son of God. Because he was in the bosom of the Father, from the foundation of the world. He was in the bosom of the Father. And you know you could go into the Bible and show where he pre-existed. Because it said all things were made by him and for him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And you could take John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You see how you could go back. But why they do that is, and they say, Jesus just a son. Like you're a son. That's because they'll say then, their man, he's the son of God too. He's a prophet. Then they make Jesus just on the level of all other prophets, but he's not. That's why I wanted to emphasize earlier that Moses did make mistakes. I'm going to go further with this statement. You can show me no man, I don't care how good he is, that was ever born of a woman from Adam right through that didn't fall except Jesus Christ. Every one of them made mistakes. And even William Branham says many times, he says, my words would fail, but his won't. And he says, I have to watch what I say, because if it's not him saying it, it won't happen. My words would fail, but his won't. And here we see Moses, you would have to say, Moses was without question one of the greatest prophets ever. And look at the things he did. But yet God used him, and yet God called him, and yet God manifested his presence in him. And that had to be because there's one that's superior to them all, that's Jesus Christ. Now my question to that man would be, the difference in his, whether he calls him a son of God or a prophet, the difference is in Buddha or Muhammad compared to Jesus is, their body's still in agreement, but Jesus is not. That's the difference. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he's highly exalted, and the Father has given him a name that's far above every other name. And he says, neither salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. So the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to close because the time's gone. The Lord Jesus Christ is superior to every other man. God, you see, tonight can still manifest. When you see God, when you the gifts of the Spirit operate, that's the Spirit of God manifesting. Now, if you believed that God's all in the bride or the body, wherever you want to look at it, and that's God, well then, you're limiting God. God's not limited. God is everywhere. You know Jesus says that he was in heaven and is in earth at the same time? You know what he said before Moses was, I am? That's how almighty our God is. He can manifest in nature. He can, look, God made a donkey talk to the prophet. God made a rooster crow three times. Somebody said it would have crowed three times. I don't know how many times they crow in the morning, but that rooster crowed under the anointing. Jacob said, he said, Lord, you anointed a rooster one time, and it crowed, and a man repented. He said, if you can do that, you can anoint an old rooster like me. And if I crow a bit, somebody will repent. So God can use anybody, and the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. But it's the Spirit of God that does it. And we need the Spirit of God. Let's come and pray tonight. And just let's pray for the Spirit of God.